Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing, He's got the whole world in His hands, but it sure doesn't always seem like that, does it? Our world is a mess, and it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. War, domestic violence, political turmoil, economic ruin and devastating poverty ravage every part of the globe in one way or another. We have Kim Jong-un, the supreme leader of North Korea, living on the edge of insanity, launching missiles into the great beyond to the dismay of the entire world. Uncertainty, fear, and anger often rule the day. Civil unrest and the resulting violence seem to be more and more our new normal. Think about it. From the very beginning, in fact, within days of our existence on the planet, we humans have rebelled against our Creator God. From His wisdom and goodness and power, He spoke paradise into being. He then fashioned us in His image, the image of God, out of the dust of the ground, and gave us a perfect world to care for and rule over. But it took Adam and Eve only a matter of days, weeks at the most, to bring a curse on every good thing that God had made. And it doesn't stop there. Adam and Eve not only brought a curse on the planet, but in their sinful rebellion, they brought depravity and death to everyone who followed. You, me, everyone, everywhere in the world, no exceptions. Within 1600 years or so of creation, the rebellion of humankind and the subsequent evil had grown to such proportions that God saw the need to wipe out the entire population with the exception of Noah's family of eight. Drastic measures indeed. And all of this mess, after a perfect start from scratch, everything new beginning as decided by and according to the riches of the infinite wisdom of our Creator God. God's own chosen people, the children of Israel, have a long and sordid history of rebellion through idol worship and immorality, an overflow of the history of humankind. An overview, rather, of the history of humankind shows a persistent pattern of rebellion against God from the first days of creation to our present time. It just doesn't make sense. But one day it will. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 11? Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Actually, we're going to look at verse 14 first, the end of last week. Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. The second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is soon to come. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came. And the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. We've been in an interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpets. And if you remember, two or three messages back, the eagle, it said, was flying across Middle Earth. And it was saying, in Eugene Peterson's version, the message, doom, doom, doom. In some of our other Bibles, it was woe, woe, woe. It pronounced three woes. And we've been through the first two woes. And what these coincided with was the fifth and the sixth and the seventh trumpets that were mentioned earlier in Revelation. The fifth trumpet, the first woe, sixth trumpet, the second woe, and now the seventh trumpet, the third woe. And from this, we'll see from the rest of the judgments, we'll see coming from the trumpet, we'll see the seven bowls or the seven vials of wrath coming. But we see something pretty amazing because we're still here. This is still, even though it's the trumpet blast is going, it's announcing the third woe. We're still a little bit of the interlude. Now, if you would turn back with me to just one chapter, to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 7. Chapter 10 of Revelation, verse 7. But that... But that in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, that's the one that we just read, that we beginning in chapter, in verse 15 of chapter 11. But in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God would be fulfilled. Now, I have to tell you, I did not understand completely. You know, we're familiar with the mystery of God, and we're familiar with the mystery of God being the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul has spoken of this, and it says, the prophets of old, they longed to know these things. And in the New Testament, they were revealed. Well, I thought all these things had been revealed, but there is a final revealing, and that's where we are right now with verse 7 and then with the seventh trumpet. And what this tells us in this mystery, and we'll review, a mystery isn't something like we're going to be detectives and we're going to go sleuthing and we've got to figure this out and we've got to investigate. No, it's something that we do not know. We cannot know apart from God revealing it to us. And he reveals it to us in his word. Now, we do look at our world. And, okay, now, don't be too hard on me, but just think about it. Here's God, Almighty God. He makes this perfect creation. Are we agreed on that? What did he say in Genesis? He said it was good and good and good. And then he said what? But it became a mess pretty fast, didn't it? Now think about it. How do we make sense of that? Because the scoffers, that's what they say. Well, if there's a God, why is our world in the shape it's in? Well, if God's a loving God, how could he let this happen? Well, you know what? They're looking through a pinhole. They're looking through a pinhole. What this mystery here tells us, if we want to understand, because when we think about the big overview, it's not just the history of our planet. It doesn't just begin at Genesis when God said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Before that beginning, before that recorded word to us, we have recorded words later, such as in Paul writing, saying before the foundations of the world. This was a plan that God set in place before the earth, before he even created this earth. So we come back again, and it's like, okay, God, you're all powerful, you're infinite in wisdom, your ways are past finding out. Why did the wheels fall off so quickly, probably within days of creating humans on the planet? Then let's just be real honest as we look then over human history. Is it good? Yes, if we could say it's good or bad. What, good? Bad? Really bad? Awful? Like in the depravity of man, bad? Yes. Well, sometimes, how do we understand that? How do we make sense? How do we connect the dots? Well, we don't. We don't. We don't connect the dots. We don't make sense. We don't figure it out. You know what we do? We listen to God. If he has our hearts, if we're treasuring his word as his word, God's word, like the Bereans received the word of God as the word of God, not the word of men. If we listen to him, He gives us the perspective that we have to make sense of our world. And what is that perspective? That it's that you got to take the whole picture. If ever there were a time to say that we needed to see the big picture, it would be in Revelation. It's all about Jesus Christ. Him crucified, buried, risen again for our sins, taken to heaven, and now glorified, coming again. The whole picture doesn't make sense because this world, it says here in our text, it says the nations raged. Or actually, it says the nations raged, doesn't it? What does it say? Let's go over here to the Bible. See what the Bible... The nations raged. That's what the nations have been doing for basically the whole time of Earth's history. Wars, rumors of wars. Look, I said about 1,600 years in from creation, things were so bad, God wiped everybody out except for 8 people with the flood. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? That's how bad. It's like, God, this is you. This is your perfect creation. How did it go this way? Well, there's some of these things we don't know, but what we do know, it makes sense only when we view the before the foundations of the world, the earth history, and then forever after. If you follow what I'm saying, it's one big overview. And that overview, when we began the study in Revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse means revealing. The revealing of Jesus Christ. I have to admit that I understand that better than I ever did. If you've had binoculars and you don't have them in focus and you don't have them in focus and then they come in focus and it's like, oh, instant relight. Oh, now I see that now. It's so clear now. Or if you've ever shot a high-powered rifle, if you've done that, you probably remember the first time that you tried to see through that big old scope. And because it's not that easy if you've done it. You're trying to find something in that. But when it comes in and you get it focused, and that's what this is like. This is our focus. And we have to see this whole thing through the revealing of Jesus Christ. We can't just look at the circumstances now. We can't look at 100 years ago. But all things when said and done. And God is infinite in his wisdom. And he does have the whole world in his hands. Those of you that were in Sunday school a few weeks ago, I gave the analogy that Francis Schaeffer gives. And he says, with the word of God, he said, he gave the analogy of like with Columbus, and Columbus was going to sail the ocean blue. And some were concerned that he was going to sail what? Off the edge of the world. Francis Schaeffer says, never worry about the word of God, that you're never going to sail off the edge of the world. That's the trust we need to have in the word of God. And so we can when it says something, we don't have to sidestep any issues. We can read all of this. In fact, who's the one who gave us this awful history of our planet? Who's the one who gave us that? God. He had a purpose in that, didn't he? And it's bringing his redemption. No, we cannot understand everything, but what we can understand that it is all according to his grand and glorious purpose. Let me read something. This is kind of an extended quote, and it's from John MacArthur, but I think you'll appreciate it. The sounding of the seventh trumpet marks a significant milestone in the book of Revelation. It sets in motion the final events leading up to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of his earthly millennial kingdom. Revelation 10:7 expresses the finality of the seventh trumpet. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants, the prophets. That mystery is the full revelation of the consummation of God's plan. You see what he's saying there? Now the revelation, right where we are right now with this seventh trumpet blowing, we're going to see this is the final piece and it puts everything together. It was prophesied by the Old Testament preachers, but its fullness was never revealed until the book of Revelation. The seventh trumpet sets in motion the final consummation of God's redemptive plan for the present universe. During its tenure will come the final fury of the day of the Lord's judgments, the final harvest of judgment on earth, and the Lamb's defeat of the kings of the earth, culminating in the final climactic triumph of Christ at Armageddon. The sounding of the seventh trumpet signals God's answer to the prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That answer sweeps through chapters 12 through 22 as God finishes his mighty work of reclaiming creation from the usurper, Satan. End quote. Back to verse 15. Then the seventh trumpet, the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord." His kingdom come. That prayer, and that's what he said, and numerous others, and then ourselves, if we're studying these scriptures, we're saying, well, we've been praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And here it is. See, there will be no more doubt that Satan, through that wily serpent in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3, and we've looked at that, and he tempted and he deceived Eve, and Adam in turn followed Eve's deceit. And they brought death and destruction on this planet. And yes, God is sovereign. This is actually how powerful. If God wasn't as powerful as he was, he would be trying to, even all this time, he would be trying to wrest authority back from Satan. Again, when we understand, when we let God speak to us, when we let him lay it out in his word, we can say, well, if God's that powerful, why is he allowing Satan to do this? You'll see in your notes, the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, his judgment is coming. You'll see that in at least two of the Gospel of John texts that you have in your notes. His time is coming. We're going to see that a little bit in our text. Well, we already read it. The time is coming. See, it's all about the timing. And we don't understand things when we don't understand timing. God is eternal. God is infinite. We are finite. We try to capture things in these natural minds if we step away from the Word of God, or we can look to the Word of God, but if our hearts aren't submitted to Him, we don't understand, we don't receive the information. God is eternal. His time frame is not our time frame. It all comes together one day. I've said it before, it's revelation, these amazing things that are happening. We can say, well, how could that happen? I've never seen anything like that happen before. And you won't again. It's the end of the world. When these things happen, you won't see it again. It is the final chapter. I also see through my studies more and more just how it fits, how perfect, how it completes. The book of Revelation completes God's holy scripture. He really does give it to us beginning to end. I had mentioned to you probably on more than one occasion, I'm like, we're going through Genesis, wanted to cover at least the first 11 foundational chapters. We went through chapter 12 also. But then I thought God put on my heart to go through Revelation, and I'm like, I don't understand this. And so I dealt with that for weeks. And then it's like, no, I think God wants us to go to Revelation, but how does that make sense? Well, it makes perfect sense. Could have had a V8. You know that expression, wow, I could have had a V8. Well, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because it gives us that panorama. We see what's going on. Well, how the sinfulness of this world. God has all of that. I started to say, Satan, yes, he has limited control on this earth. But one day that will be completely ended. Completely and totally. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. With God's kingdom comes, is one day will be on earth as it is in heaven. With God's kingdom comes his judgment and his reward. Verses 16 to 18. The 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. See, they're seeing all this come together too. The four living beings we've talked about, the innumerable number of angels, they're seeing all this unfold too, this mystery, the last, it's like they were reading a mystery novel and they couldn't, and these are the last pages. Now the author is giving us all the things that we had on our mind wondering about. And it's all coming. This is why they, see folks, when it says they worshiped him, they really worshiped him. It isn't just something, well, boys, bow down. It's time, you know, they said the holy words again. No, the living beings, the living creatures, our, most of our translations have, the angels, these elders, they're awestruck. They're seeing all of this unfold. That seventh trumpet, they know what that means. And now they're seeing all of the culmination of all of this. They're seeing all these years of the rebellion of humans on this earth for the about 6,000 years of earth history. Mostly rebellion. Mostly, it talks about the nation's rage. We got Psalm 2 on the back of your study sheet. There it says the nation's rage, and what does God do? He laughs. Because God is God. And it's, we can scoff, we can throw our insults and our barbs, but God is God. And we're getting to the place here now in Revelation where it's say, well, if God is God, well, he is God. And when this time comes, the seventh trumpet, now we believe that as believers in Christ now, not ones that come later during the tribulation, but as those who are believers now will be raptured. We will be not on the earth for this time. We will also be observing these things. We will also be awestruck and worshiping him. But to understand this world, and if you've ever dealt with that confusion or this doubt, and it's like God created everything, and it's like, but why is the world such a mess? Can't tell you that. But what I can tell you is it's a mess that God, in his infinite wisdom, in his sovereignty, and in his providential rule, has allowed. And it'll all click one day in these final chapters. With his kingdom comes his judgment and his reward. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was. And you notice something here in this expression? Before, we typically read who is and who was and who is to come. But he's here now. It's no more is to come. Final chapter. Last pages of the book. Not who is and who was and who is to come. No, he's here now. His kingdom on earth in this place. Preparing for his entrance into the millennial kingdom. All of these things are going to roll one into the other. God's plan. Have you NCAA tournaments coming up? March Madness. Probably none of you have heard about that. Chuck, you've not heard of March Madness, probably. It's this idea of a bunch of basketball teams playing and that. But you always have the team, and you got the experts, and they're saying, oh, this team's going to beat this team. And then they're just going to blow them out. They're going to beat them so bad. And then that team that was going to get supposed to was the underdog beats the other team. And then in hindsight, oh, they're better than we thought they were. Oh, we see now how they did that. Well, a lot of that's going to be going on at this time. It's going to click. This is why. Now, what do we do in between? Do we just doubt God and then, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord, now it clicks? Don't be there. We trust him now. We believe him now. We don't see these things now as clearly as we will one day. But if we are living in obedience to him, in submission to him, and without a doubt in our minds, we know he's sovereign Lord and he will do what he will do because he is God. Take that time on this earth. We have the time on this earth to honor him in that way. To honor him with our obedience, to honor him with our faithfulness, to honor him with our belief in his word. And we're not going to apologize for it or make excuses or try to give somebody an explanation You know, we go in and we redefine God because of the events of this world. That is so dishonoring to God. Or making apologies for God. That's so dishonoring. As his children, if you are one of his children, let's honor him by believing his word, by knowing as he proves it to us again and again. It says here, it goes on down, the nations raged, but your wrath came, the time for the dead to be judged, for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. And basically, that comes down to the time has come for judgment. For those who have honored God, for those we looked at, chapter 6, I believe, were purchased by the blood of the Lamb or the Old Testament saints. Time for reward. For everybody else, everyone else outside of Jesus Christ, outside of a covenant relationship with the God of the universe, there will be a judgment. See, there's really only, it's we believe God and we receive his salvation, or we reject God. We can't take his message and revise it to fit what we think should be. That's not the gospel. We believe his word. We receive his gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. But here's an interesting, and I don't know that anywhere else that we have it stated like this, but the last phrase in verse 18, and all of our translations are very close, it says, for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Now think about that with what I've just said. All of this time, from within days, probably within weeks at the most, that as humans, God, okay, let's take one step back. Back to God created everything. It was perfect. The climate, everything was perfect. The people, for a time, were perfect. God said it was good, 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 very good. Adam and Eve, he creates man and woman in his image. Within days, weeks at the most, then the ruin, the destruction has come on this earth. The destruction has begun. Okay, let me read something from this is kind of an extended quote too from Henry Morris, but it's worth it. He says, it is significant that special attention is called to the judgment of those who destroy the earth. God's first great commandment to mankind had included an injunction to subdue the earth, Genesis 1:28. Man was to exercise dominion over all of the earth, but this was to be a dominion of stewardship and service, not one of despotism and exploitation. Adam and his descendants were to organize and utilize the creation for man's benefit and God's glory. But instead, men have all but destroyed the earth. Instead of caring for the animals and plants committed to his dominion, man has become their enemy, and many kinds have been exterminated. Wars have devastated the forests and scorched the lands. Human greed has yielded polluted waters and noxious air. Landscapes have been blighted with open mines and urban slums. Worst of all has been man's wickedness, both to his fellow man and against God. The word destroy is the same actually as corrupt. Man had destroyed the earth by corrupting the earth, using it not for God's glory, but instead to satisfy his own greed and lust. But that stops here. But that stops at this moment. That he's going to now all of these, the wrongs will be righted. This God gave us a wonderful stewardship of this earth, and we've abused it for the biggest part of 6,000 years. So those who do not come to Christ, one of the titles, and I don't remember, and it may be elsewhere in the Bible, I'm not familiar with it, but I had not heard them called that title before, the destroyers of the earth. And we look around at our world and we see the pollution. We go to Beijing where you have to wear a mask to go to the market because you can't breathe. And some days it's so bad you can't go to the market, but you got to stay in house with your air purifier on. God reveals, lastly, a preview of the kingdom of heaven in all its glory. We see this. We see the kingdom come to earth. And then God does something. It's a little different. It says in verse 19, then remember John's vision, then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and earthquake, and heavy hail. God showing his majesty and his might. If there just never should be a doubt in our minds, who sits on the throne in heaven? We can look at this earth and we can sometimes wonder, and we can sometimes honestly wonder, and how do we make sense of this? Well, we make sense of this. We look at the entire picture, the entire history of humanity. We hear God's words. One day, everything will be made right. I believe people have questioned, well, why have the teaching on the millennial kingdom that's going to come up? Well, why do that? I've read people, they feel like that's unnecessary. For God to show, God is going to show for 1,000 years what a righteous rule, the effect a righteous rule will have on this earth. When Jesus Christ is literally on this earth, ruling this earth, we will be ruling with him. He is going to show. We will be redeemed then. We will not be corruptible politicians. We will be the saints of God. Can you imagine 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling what this earth will look like? The reverses in pollution and clean air. All of these things. That we see God's purpose. At the end of that, now, just to show the depravity of humanity, there will still be an uprising, not Armageddon. Armageddon comes at the end of the tribulation, at the end of this period we're in right now. At the end of that 1,000 years, there will be the final battle, because even in spite of a perfect reign of righteousness, sin is deep in the hearts of humans, and there will be some who will not bow before the Lord, even though he is literally here on this earth. Just want to ask in closing then this morning, how do you make sense of your world? You know, I shared when I began, I was just, Carrie and I reading, and I just hearing these words, and it's like, these are the words of God. Is God your go-to source? It's okay to check in on CNN, I guess. I don't do much of it. I get my news usually online, but not saying that's wrong, or I can't knock the Today Show because someone I know watches it every day. And so I'm not knocking watching the news, but is that your dominant source for what's going on in the world? Oh, I got to find out what's going on in the world. I'm going to turn the news on. Whoops. Big mistake. Oh, where'd I put it? This is our dominant source for what's going on in the world. From before the world, before the foundation of this world, all during earth history, what's coming forever after, all of these times that we're talking about. And you know what, even more? My dominant source for what's going on here. Because I, like you, have a Jeremiah 17:9 heart that's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. And who can know it? Well, God can know it. God's the only one that can take us and navigate these dark places and bring the fruit of his spirit through our lives. So who's your go-to source? In reality, not just answering a Sunday school question, oh, the Bible, Word of God, blah, blah, blah. Is it to you? Do you receive the Word of God as the Word of God and not the Word of man? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Lord, we count it a wonderful privilege to have this fellowship together that you've brought together, to have the doors of this building open, to meet right here, right now, Father, to honor you, to be faithful to you, to bring glory to your name. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us, would overpower us, would lead us, would direct us, would teach us, would convict us of sin. Father, we pray that you would be our all in all, that we can be who we should be, who we can be, the children of God. Now we are the children of God. One day we will see our Lord Jesus and will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.